Well, let's pray and then let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this afternoon that we can meet and take time to just sum up the whole book of Ecclesiastes. We thank you for the many months of learning from this book. We ask, dear Lord, that you will continue, Lord, to speak to our hearts and challenge us as we remember the lessons and apply the wisdom that we can gain from it. We ask that you will continue to be with Pastor and Auntie Sally. We pray for your grace and your mercies to be upon them. I hope Pastor will be able to go home soon. We ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, have you all signed up for the outing? YAG outing. This Wednesday. Okay, if you have not, please do so. It's going to be a rather interesting time. We will go and visit the Chinatown Heritage Center. Okay, so we'll have a good time and then we'll play a little Amazing Race game thing just for the fun of it. Hi, come. Hi, Jamie. You come for the last one. Okay. Yeah, good, good. Good to see all of you. Okay. Let's turn to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. And in this part, we see in verse 13. So chapter Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse 13, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Okay? Yeah, so Jamie, you come to the best part. You know, you skip 12 chapters and then you come to the, what's the point of it all? Now, okay, my question is, what is the whole matter? Right? He says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is the whole matter? What is Ecclesiastes all about? What is he trying to deal with? Death. Okay, let's see. What he's talking about? Death. What else? Anybody? Just guess. Okay. What is vanity? What is specifically vain? Sorrow, okay, sorrow. I mean, what else? What's the whole matter of this book? Futility in life, okay, futility in life. In life, okay. What else? Meaning of life. Okay, meaning of life. Hi, come. Looks like we need a bit more chairs. Okay, Ken, come. Fertility of life. Anybody else? Let's try. What this book is about. What's the point of this book? Yes, he's talking about fertility of life. He's talking about sorrow. He's a very dismal view of life. He's trying to find meaning in life. But in what? What is the thing that he's dealing with? There's something that he's dealing with. And it runs across everything. There's one thing that he's dealing with. What's that one thing? He's trying to find meaning, but it's in the midst of something that he's trying to look for. Well, you want to find out what's the point of it all? Where do you find it? This is the end. Sorry? Yeah, you got to go to the beginning point, right? You got to go back all the way to the beginning. What's the point of it all? Why did he write this book? And so you can find this. So vanity of vanities is the result of what he is trying to find in this particular thing, right? And so in verse 12, he says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of men. This burdensome task. He's trying to find out, as he experienced life with reference to the task of life. What's the task of life? In many ways, it's your work. So the idea here is, look, this burdensome task has given to the sons of men by which they may be exercised. The word exercise is actually the word afflicted, not physical exercise, right? This is actually afflicted. I've seen all the works that I've done under the sun. Indeed, all is vanity, grasping for the wind. I commune with my heart. So what is he grappling with? This burdensome task God has given to the sons of men. So what is he grappling with? So he's actually grappling with this idea of labor. Why does man have to labor? Okay. Because what is the fruitility of life? As he labors, he finds that after a while, there's no meaning. This burdensome, you know, the task of life, meaning work and everything, there's no meaning. So, okay, he tries to find the meaning in enjoyment. He tries to find meaning in food. See, so these are what we call temporal joys, right? That's what we all do. So this coming Wednesday, we're going to have an outing. You can join us, Jamie. We're going to have a... Okay, then that's fine. But anyway, we're going to have an enjoyment time. Well, enjoyment time. a time where we will have a bit of fun, a bit of recalling on Ecclesiastes, and a good, very good time of fellowship at this restaurant called My Soul Gastro Bar. Have you heard? Very funny name. But it's a Chinese restaurant, a very interesting Chinese restaurant. And the food is good, and we're going to have dinner there. Okay? Now, these are things that we can enjoy. But it only brings enjoyment, meaning for a short while. You see? So he's trying to grapple with this. Why? Because as he works really hard, and then he finds riches, then all of a sudden he realizes, you know what? I'm going to die. If I'm going to die, where is the meaning? Because I have to hand this to the next generation. And then the next generation, you get a person, the son is like a fool. He is not wise. He's going to squander everything. So where is the meaning? You see, he's grappling with this thing called labor. Right? He's working very hard, but in the midst of it, it is no ending. So everything... A lot of this is about this whole idea of labor, which I think many of you who have been working some time, we all grapple with this idea of labor. This burdensome task. In other words, how do you actually learn to cope with life, with work, with stress, with all the things that come with it? So the way he copes is, he will say, okay, you know what? Let's enjoy. Let's enjoy for a moment. Let's find joy. Let's find joy in eating and drinking, which we all do, right? And then he includes God. He says, wow, wonderful. If a person, God gives the power to eat of it, right? But then in the next chapter, he says, you know, vanities of vanity, God doesn't give this person the power to eat of it. On one hand, you have a power to eat of it. Then after that, you cannot eat. As you grow older, you cannot eat. Right now, I cannot eat chicken. I cannot eat certain things. I don't know. My body reacts to it. I just can't eat it. Right? So when you grow older, wow, okay, you got cut down on cholesterol. No more kombak. No more char siu. No more siu yo. Right? You have to cut down. You can't eat. All right? You always tell the old people, you cannot eat, cannot eat. Right? Half the time, you're telling them, you got to look after your health. So what's the meaning of life? You work so hard, then you cannot enjoy. You see what he's grappling with? And then along the way, he says, so the first part is about enjoyment, he struggles with this thing called death. It's not death, so death is not the issue. Death is part of the problem. But he's struggling with this idea, why should I labor? What's the point of laboring? You see where he's going with this? This burdensome task, right? And then in chapter 3, there's God's timing. God's timing and sovereignty, right? There's a time for everything, a time to born, a time to die, a time to pluck, a time to everything. Everything, there's a purpose. God makes everything beautiful in its time. I know that whatever God does, it is forever. Nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. God does it that man should fear before him. Now, one of the things he realizes, as he will bring it up. So the last part, what's the conclusion of the matter? Is that we should include God in our life. You see? That's where fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the matter. So as he struggles, as he thinks, wow, actually, the only thing that's really, really worth thinking about is including God in your life. Is to remember God. If you don't include God in your life, what you do will end up in vain. Nothing will come out of it. Well, something will come out of it in terms of wealth, but at the end of it, it will just vanities of vanities. You see where he's coming from? Now, just to prove the point, you turn with me to Psalm 126. Again, this idea of labor comes in. So in Psalm 126, we read, sorry, 127. 127, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. You see the word labor again? Right? Unless the Lord builds the house, the family. So next time, when you have a family, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, future, you know what? Unless God builds the house, you know what? All your labor will be in vain. You see? How he thinks through this very carefully, right? He basically is about labor. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman will wake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, meaning work hard, sorrow comes and gives, but so he gives his beloved sleep. Children, a heritage, and so on. And of course, this is with reference to the family, right? 128. Okay, 128, of course, we don't know who's the author, but when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and shall be well with you. See, this idea of labor, so it really is something that he is so affected by. Labor, labor, labor. No end to it. You work so hard 1 week, the next week, wow, you still got to work so hard. Yeah, you go on holiday, you're scared to come back because, wow, straight away you come back, that's labor again. That's life. Labor, no end. Do you see the end of patience in your where you are? No, right? It's like, wow, where these people come from? Now it becomes worse. So many. Now hospitals are overflowing with patients and so on. You haven't started yet, so soon it will be part of your life. No end to labor. You see, he's struggling with this. He's grappling with this. And so he goes on to observe. Okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. And then he begins to observe things with reference. Oh, you know what? Since you want to include God, then whatever you say before God when you go to the temple, you better keep it. You keep a vow. So a lot of people say vow, okay. You know, God, give me crops. I labor hard, but you know, you still need to bless me. If I labor, but if you are not involved, then my crops will not grow. Rain is not going to come. So he makes a vow before God. Okay, God, I make a vow. Please help me. You know what? I will keep my vow. Whatever vows you want to make. But then you see the fool comes, he makes a vow, but God does his part, he doesn't follow through with it. Then Solomon says, you know what? When you go to the house of the Lord, be careful what you say. Let your words be few. Fear God. See, again, he brings in the idea of fearing God. Don't anyhow say anything before God. You say anything, in time to come, many of you, you know, you're going to get married in church. You're going to say your marriage vows. Whatever you say, keep it. If not, you end up like a fool. Don't be like a fool. Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Do not say to the messenger of God, you know what, it's an error. No pleasures in full, verse 4. Whatever you vow, marriage vow is just one of them, many others. Whatever you say. In other words, whatever you want to say before God, keep it. Fear him. Right? Right? He goes on to say in verse 6, verse 7, the multitude of dreams, many words, there's also vanity. But fear God. Then, okay, so he goes on to talk about all the different things. The sleep of a laboring man, you see, verse 12, is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich does not permit him to sleep. Okay, riches kept. Okay, then you labor hard, you have riches, you see? The whole idea of labor. Now that you have labored hard, you have done well, you have riches, then what are you going to do with it? You have so much, but you cannot sleep. Because you keep worrying about it. Right. Then he goes on to talk about, wow, then he keeps saying, it is good. You see, verse 18. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, to enjoy the good of his labor. Now, there's nothing wrong. I think it's a good thing. We should enjoy. We should enjoy a good meal. We should enjoy life. But you see, he's still grappling with this idea of labor still. You follow? Right, and then the next chapter, he deals with, you know, a man who has given riches but cannot eat of it. Foreigner eats of it. Verse 7, all the labor of man is for his mouth, yet the soul is not satisfied. You see, again, the labor part. Again and again and again, he talks about this idea of labor. Right, a good name is better than precious ointment. Go to the house of mourning. Rather than a house of laughter. You see, so okay, you eat a lot, you enjoy, yes, enjoy, but then after a while, people begin to drink and they get drunk and then they laugh, they waste their time. But on the other hand, you know what? It's also good to see that, wow, life will end. That's where death comes in. On one hand, death can be a very bad thing. He struggles with that. But then on the other hand, actually going to the house of mourning, it sombers you. It humbles you. Right? Can you see? And then, of course, verse 10, consider the work of God, chapter 7. And then, of course, there are paradoxes of life. Okay, we work hard. Okay, so the thing is, you work hard, you get riches. You have a good life. But actually, there are also paradoxes of life. You can labor hard, and be righteous and still die young. You see, he's grappling with this thing called labor, and yet there are paradoxes of life. And then in verse 18, so there's a just man who perishes, verse 15, in his righteousness. There's a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Then he says, it is good to grasp this. Also, do not remove your hand from the other. He who fears God will escape them all. You see, fearing the Lord once again. Then he goes on to talk about wisdom and then joy and so on. See, he's grappling. He's grappling again and again and again. And wisdom. Wisdom is something that he's looking for. And if you really have wisdom, it makes all the difference. Chapter 8, who is a wise man? Who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine. Sternness of his face is changed. When you are able to ascertain truth in the right way, joy will come. Right? And so on. So, you see, he's constantly grappling with this idea called labor. Right, so you come at the right time. I just summarize. Right? So he goes on to talk. Okay, since we need to labor, then let's do the right thing. Right? Verse 10, chapter 9. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. There's no work or device of knowledge or wisdom in the grave that you're going. So, you know, you might as well work hard in life. Live joyfully with your wife. Love all the days of your vain life which he has given you. For that is your portion in life, in the labor which you have performed under the sun. Verse 9. And then at the same time, time and chance happen to them all. Then again, it's not how hard you labor. It's time and chance. You were at the right place, at the right time, right opportunity. You see? Okay, and then he goes on to talk about wisdom and so on. And then all the things, the accidents can happen in life. Wisdom brings success. Sometimes things can, paradoxes of life, sometimes things can happen. Safety, right, at working place. And then, of course, there are kings. Then verse 11, chapter 11, cast your bread before the waters, you'll find it after many days. And then you work hard. You work hard in the morning, verse 6, work hard in the evening. You do not know which will prosper. Okay, and then he summarizes, rejoice, O young men. Learn to rejoice. Learn to remove sorrow, put away evil. Remember the Lord. Right? Remember your Creator. One day we will return to the Lord. And then he talks about how he ascertained all this. And finally, what is the conclusion of the whole matter? So in the midst of all the labors, all the challenges of life, the paradoxes, the things that sometimes doesn't go your way, things that do, health issues, death that will come, what's the conclusion of it all? Fear God. The conclusion of it all is that if you don't include God in your life, unless the Lord builds the home, you labor in vain. Whatever you do, you have to include God. Whether it's a future marriage, whether it is raising children, whether it is starting your own business, whether whatever it is. Unless the Lord is there, unless you fear the Lord and keep his commandments, you find that you will labor in vain. You have to include God. God has to be in the picture. Fear him. Revere him. Regard him. Regard his word. Keep his commandments. See, that's the challenge of it all. If you don't follow the ways of the Lord, you follow your own ways, you're going to end up with problems. Life, it is already tough. So Ecclesiastes is telling us that life is tough. Work is tough. It's not going to be easy. Right? If life is so tough already, and you don't include God, it's even worse. You see, that's what he's trying to tell us. At the end of it, the conclusion of it, is that you have to include God. You have to put God at the center of your life. You have to fear him. And then he will bless. He will bless the work of your hand. And then as you follow His ways, you will find that the Lord will be there. And then He will grant you wisdom, discernment, right? In chapter 8, and then in verse, right? Discernment, He talks about he who keeps His command will experience nothing harmful. And so the challenge is to keep the commandments of the Lord. Okay, now we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, even as he concludes, he says, for this is man's awe. Fear God, keep His commandment, for this is man's awe. Well, what do you mean by man's awe? Actually, it's not something new. This is something that God has already commanded. He's just making a statement that God has already made at the beginning in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, and in verse 12, it says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you?" Right? This is man's awe. To fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord, right? And His statutes, which I command you today for your good. See, so at the end of the day, with all the problems, the challenges, the paradoxes, the difficulties of life, you know, the challenge for us is to fear the Lord, keep His commandments. Why? It's for your good. Right? There are paradoxes, yes, but you know what? We can escape them if we walk with the Lord. When we fear Him, God brings mercy into our life. We can escape perhaps some of these paradoxes of life. You see how fearing the Lord makes all the difference. Yes, life, there are problems, but life is not fixed. It's not fate. See, there are some people who believe in fate. Everything's fated. I can't do anything about it. Nothing changes. No. If you fear God, there's still the mercies of God extended to you. God's will in some ways dynamic. There's a sovereign will. When is the Lord Jesus coming again? It's already fixed. God knows. We don't know. There's a sovereign plan. That one we can't change. But in terms of things in our life, it's still dynamic. If you walk with the Lord, you fear Him, you include Him in your life, you keep His word, mercy will be extended in ways that sometimes you don't even know. You see? The point of what he's trying to make at the end of it. Okay. You any questions you want to ask? Do you understand where he's coming at this last part? Can you all see? If you look the whole book, you read this word labor actually fits in throughout almost. Not everything, but throughout. You can see this idea of labor, this burdensome task. At the end of it, wow, what's the point of it all? Fear God. Include Him. Let Him build whatever you want to build. If it's a future with someone, a marriage, then let Him build it. Don't build it yourself. If you build it on your own ideas, your own ways, then, you know what? Maybe God is not going to bless it beyond a certain level. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. You see, the laboring in vain is something He struggles with. Right? We all sometimes find, wow, we struggle. My labor is in vain. My labor is in vain. But if you include God, somehow, in some ways, there's the mercy there. It's not in vain. Right? Cam, I think that's one of the things that Pastor spoke about too. Right? If we serve the Lord, we live, then we end up, our labor is in vain. Okay, so any questions you want to ask? What do y'all think? Understand, Jimmy? You can see the whole thing. Oh, one shot, I tell you. They went through, I don't know how many months of studying the book. But it's exciting. I mean, you study the book also, wow, one step at a time, and so you really see it. But now you see the whole thing. How he finally says, you know what, I really need. But you see, wisdom is such a, that whether you follow through with it is another thing. Now, Solomon did not follow through with what he said, because he didn't include God. He began to worship idols. Right? And because of his, wow, what, 600, 700 wives and then 300 porcupines. Right? You know why I call him porcupines, right? Every night they will come and poke him. Come with me. Stay with me today. Stay with me. Ayo. A word of advice. One spouse is enough. You don't need spices in your life. One spouse is enough. Many spouses, lots of spices. When spices come together, it becomes very spicy. And things get very heated up. What do you think? Okay, any, ask, any question? Yes, sir.
So he followed through with the wisdom that he taught for a while, but not for his whole life?
Yeah, so this book, when I first started teaching you all, when I started preparing, I think in my mind, Solomon, sure gone. I don't think we will see him in heaven. In my mind, I think that's it, as I was reading. But now, as I read the whole thing, I don't know. I really don't know. Whether he really followed through, or was it something that he was distracted with, or was it something that was a political move? I mean, his heart was turned against God to worshipping idols, yes. Probably, yes. But when did he write this? We really don't know. Could it be towards the end of his life? Could it be halfway through? We don't know. Something is at the end of it. So he ended on a good note, right? But some say that it's in between Proverbs, you know, and then the accounts that were written about how his heart turned away from God. Then maybe this is in the middle. We don't know. It's very hard to say. He might just be in heaven. Because the Psalms he wrote shows us that he actually believes in God. Right? So Psalm 127. Actually, he wrote another Psalm just to show, prove a point. I think it's 74. Really? Okay, 72. Yeah, he wrote 72. If you read 72, it seems like this, you know, he really knew the Lord. Right? And it's about, even also the Messiah's reign. Give the king your judgment, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness, your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people by righteousness, little hills. He will bring justice to the poor. Right? They will fear you as long as the sun and moon rise. You see? The fear of the Lord. Can you see? They will fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generation. He shall come down like rain upon the grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, the righteous shall flourish, the abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall dominion over all the sea. that dwell in the wilderness will bow. Those who dwell in it will bow before him. His enemies will lick the dust. All the kings will fall before him. All nations will serve him. When would that happen? Millennium kingdom. So he is prophetic in some ways, right? He will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor, and him who has no helper. He will redeem their life from oppression. He shall live, and the goal of Sheba shall be given to him. Prayers will be made for to him continually, and daily he shall praise. Shall be praised. There will be abundance of grain. So this is a image of the millennium kingdom. His name endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. Men shall bless in him. All nations will call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Ha. You read that, isn't it someone who has faith in God? Right? And perception. There's insight about the future. Okay, then again, I don't know. He might not be there in heaven. He might. But the point is, for us, we must fear God. We must keep his commandments. Why? Because one day, God will judge us. Can you see that? Does that answer? Okay, any questions? Do you want to go into groups to discuss? Or you want to raise up questions? I can answer. Up to you. Audrey, how? What are you thinking?
I think it's a very good reminder. Yeah, like coming back to the whole idea of the need to fear God in everything that we do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right, because it affects many things. It affects you as a person when you worship God. It affects how you perceive life, how you perceive God. It affects, your well-being in time to come. It affects everything. It affects your future as your family, your marriage. It affects everything. So if you don't include God, then you're going to end up with whatever. And then, of course, okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes 12. And then the last part. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Okay? And then, of course, there's the judgment of God. So ultimately, let me just give you 3 reasons. And maybe we can go into our groups to just discuss some of these things. Okay? One, what is it that will... What's a strong impetus? What's our reason for fearing the Lord? One, I think there should be a greater consciousness. A greater consciousness of God and what he does. Sometimes we're not conscious of him as we should. Before him. You see, fear before him. Right? Meaning, you are conscious, he is before you. The consciousness should be developed even more. Right? 2, it is a command to fear the Lord. 3, there's always the coming judgment. Of course, our judgment is not with reference to our sins, but is with reference to what we have done for him. This is, of course, was written in the Old Testament. It does not include the New Testament where Christ comes and then we are passed from judgment, right, to life. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. So, of course, Solomon's understanding does not include the salvation we have in Christ for the future. Okay? So what we can do now is that we can go to our groups, we can discuss, take about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then we can come back and then I'll just sum up. Okay?
The question is how did Solomon draw the conclusion of that from all that he has mused about from chapter 1 to chapter 11, like how did he come to the conclusion that the fear of God is the most important thing?
Well, I think one of the things that you can see, of course, is how he went about understanding these things. And how he took the time to search and to find, right, wisdom. Okay, you turn to chapter 7. So you can see that he is really, really looking for wisdom. Right? He's really searching. So in chapter 1, he talks about, I search. I, the preacher, I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. Right? By which we are afflicted. I've seen all the works that are to be done, labor. Okay, so he's searching. He's looking for things. Then in chapter 7, verse 23, all this I have proved by wisdom. So he proves, he sorts things out, then he tries to prove them. He attests whether this is right. He tests things out. Right, I approved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep. Right, so he's looking for that as well. Okay, he's looking for profundity. Who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search, and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. So he uses reason now to think through things. Can you see? So along the way, actually, he's telling us his method about how he's trying to find out things. Okay? So he takes the time to prove it. He takes the time to reason it out. He looks for that which is deep. Verse 27. Here is what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason. So he's, in some ways, this is like cross-reference. Takes one thing, he repeats it again, another thing, right? And then he works it out, right? That's how you all do reasoning, isn't it? You take one thing, you take another thing, then you try to work it out. It's called theses and antitheses, and then you come out with hypothesis. Something like that. Okay? So basically, he's working these things out in his own mind and his heart. Okay? Then he's comparing things. This is the idea of comparison. And then he follows through with, for example, the words of the king. He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. So he proves it out. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. And so this discernment comes. As you try to prove it out, discernment will come. Time and judgment. Right? And so on. Okay, and then finally, in chapter 12, we see the full thing. This is what we study. Pondered, sought out, set in order, many proverbs. So finally, as he comes to the point, what is the will to do? Is that what you're looking for? Grace? You understand? What he's doing is that he's drawing on truths that he knows, and then he compares that with life, and he grapples with life. He goes through life, he sees all the problems of life, and then he tries to reason things out. He sees ultimately, he synthesizes at the end of the day what is the most important thing. Right? The issue here is in vain, right? Three times he mentioned. In a book of Ecclesiastes, he's talking about in vain, everything's vain, vanity is not vanity. But now he concludes and says, you know, unless the Lord gives the heart,
So in other words, if the Lord is not involved in our life, all in the things that, you know, surrounding us, protecting us, for us, like Singapore as a city, we labor in vain. I mean, you look at Ukraine, a country that's in war, people can build things, but then through the years, everything's gone because of war. You see, Singapore is protected, thank God that we are such people. Thank God for good people. Is there a good question? What are you looking for? You're looking for... Sorry? Lean to fear. What are you struggling with? Life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for your word. That we can understand the book of Ecclesiastes. We pray that our hearts will be challenged and inspired to hear you, Lord. And to include you in all things that we do. We pray, your Father, that you will continue to look in our hearts and our lives, help us to walk with you each day and every day. That we can have a greater consciousness of you, that we can grow in our understanding of you.